Chris.
Marcus.
We are back. It is a little pocket awareness. You guys already know, do follow us on Twitter at ALPA underscore QB1, on Instagram at ALPA underscore QB1 on Instagram. Then go ahead and follow us on Facebook, A Little Pocket Awareness for Facebook. And of course, hit the subscribe button, please. All right. Chris also follows on Twitter. I forgot that. Follows on Twitter too, man. I forgot about that, Chris. At the Mark John NFL.
That's the most important one, Marcus.
Yeah, yeah. And at King Manelos for Chris, you know, and yeah, just, you know, I got all the Raiders fans yelling at me.
It's another tough week there, Marcus.
Yeah, you know, they're just mad at me. You know, people telling me that, you know, how good the Bengals. I said the Raiders don't have a high powered offense because, you know, the offensive line, and, you know, they want to tell me that the Bengals last year had it. Like, what is high powered about the Bengals offense last year? I mean, besides just having a cool quarterback. Like, the whole cool quarterback thing bothers the hell out of me, man. But we're going to talk about today. That's why we're talking about 2020 quarterback class, because they got the cool guys. Because I don't know, like, we're calling these guys elite already, man. I'm really tough, because that's why I asked the guy, like, is Tua elite then? Because Joe Burrow's elite, the Tua is. You know what I mean? Like,
let's not get there yet.
I'm just saying, because we just can't – these guys got to, like, put some resumes together, you know what I'm saying? Like – before we just start throwing the elite word out there. That's all, you know, even because Josh Allen is starting to not look as elite as – he's starting to look like the good guy that I talked about on tape. So we'll talk about that too. I'm just previewing the whole show here, Chris. I'm starting the whole show. This rundown of the show. So preview, we're talking about that. Of course, we got to talk about Chris had a better week than me. His team finally woke up down 28-14. And
yeah, I don't – you know, quite the time to start figuring things out.
Yeah. But I mean, Aaron Rodgers only threw 20 passes, man. It was very, game manager, very Justin Fields of him.
Justin Fields of him? You mean he's not running for 170 yards? Justin Fields of him would be the running game, not an actual offense being run. Get out of that Justin Fields stuff. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, it's that just
was a fun I heard a fun stat this week. If you want to talk about Justin Fields, how the Bears put up three straight weeks of over 29 points and lost all three games. So there's a fun fact for you, Marcus.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the Bears put a defense. Didn't they have a good defense?
Back when Akeem Hicks was there.
They traded
defensive line and they traded Roquan to Baltimore.
Jesus, why would they do that? And then didn't they trade him? And then they traded Robert Quinn.
Traded Quinn first. Eagles, yeah, that happened first.
Could you imagine if they didn't trade those two guys? They might be like
they might actually do those games. Yeah.
I mean, just a couple more pressures, a couple more defensive stops. But anyways, your Packers won, had a comeback victory. You know, you had Cowboys fans. There's probably Cowboys fans right now asking for Cooper Rush, so did a good job there.
I mean, so it was what I expected. It's what I kind of expected the game to look like at the beginning of the year. The Packers were going to play them tough at home and beat the Cowboys. That's one team we just got their number. Aaron Rodgers knows how to beat the Dallas Cowboys. He always has and he always will. That's just flat out the truth. You still got Cowboys fans mentioning that it was a catch. Even this last week, they're still talking about Dez and his catch. So it's been something that just always works out in the Packers' favor lately, because it wasn't that way in the 90s. Favre could not beat the Cowboys. But this is just it was good to be back in the win column, Marcus. It felt so good. It's like I got hope for the season. Looking at the schedule, and I'm like, The Packers ran – my brother sent me this stat.
Yeah.
Packers ran the design run plays on 62% of their snaps. It's their highest rate ever in an Aaron Rodgers start. They also utilized play action 52% of the times that Aaron Rodgers dropped back to pass. Highest in a game since 2020. Marcus, what have I been preaching the last few weeks about the Packers offense?
Run the ball a little bit more, you know?
Get the run game the ball a little bit more. Get that running game going. You know, 30 touches to Jones and Dylan. And, you know, why aren't they running some play action? They've got the ability to get this figured out with the offense that they had here. Look at how that played out. It was just very validating to see when we do something simple, like Aaron Rodgers was talking about earlier in the year, 39 touches, 37 to Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. Aaron Jones had a 5.8 yards per average. A.J. Dillon, 5 yards per average. Just had 2 rushes for 4 yards. He had a 2 yard average for his 2 carries. But with Dillon and Jones, they're over 200 yards rushing, 37 carries between the both of them. They average both at or over 5 yards per carry. Feed those men the ball. Feed those men the ball. Keep defense off the field so that they can stay fresh. And Rodgers throwing the ball 20 times a game. Without getting pressured, without getting sacked, there were only 2 sacks, but that didn't come from Micah Parsons. Lawrence got one. He was going up against our right tackle, Yosh. So he got 1 sack, 1 quarterback hit for him. Like, there were only 2 quarterback hits by the defense, and it was just the 2 sacks. Like, Rodgers, for the most part, had whatever he needed to do back there. It was ugly up and down the whole time, but I feel like that was just the way that game was going to go, regardless of the Packers playing well or not. That's just those two teams. The Cowboys have shown that they're a liability against the rush. We talked about the Eagles being a liability against the rush. The Dolphins are a liability against the rush. The Eagles and the Dolphins are the two games the Packers have going forward the rest of the season that I'm actually concerned that they could potentially lose. But these are two teams that are vulnerable to the best phase of the Packers offense. I could see it run the table. I'm not going to say it's going to happen, but it's not a foreign concept to say that. I think 11-7 or 12-6 is possible for this Packer team, and it all starts on Thursday night against the Titans.
Okay, Chris, you got that. You got that winning games. I don't know, man. Aaron Rodgers only threw 20 passes. I think you should just chill. I don't think that's sustainable. Your running game is not that good. I just think the Cowboys probably they probably just prepared for that. But I'm just saying, the next team might be. And, you know, I'm just saying. And then he's going to have to throw to Christian Watson a lot more. And who knows how that's going to look. You know, I love Christian. I love the coming out. I see the speed. You know what I'm saying? But that's what he needs. He's a good 4 or 5 target guy. Give him 4 to 5 targets right now. I mean, he might be able to develop into that guy once he gets more confidence with his hands. But
sure. Right now, his job is to take the top off the defense, to give Aaron Rodgers some room and some space to operate within that 5 to 15 yard zone, making passes to Randall Cobb, who's going to be coming off of IR either this week or next week. You've got to wait for Romeo to come off the IR so he's healthy again. Alan Lazard lives in that 10 to 20 yard space. Sammy Watkins just can't get on the same page with Rodgers is what it seems like. But if you can take the top off the defense with Christian, there's an offense run here. Aaron Jones is averaging 5.6 yards all season long, not just that game, all season long. He ran for 7.2 yards per carry against Buffalo. He ran for 6.9 against New England. He ran for 8.8 against Chicago. He ran for 9.8 against Minnesota. The running game needs to be the identity of this offense. The offensive line, for the first time, played a full game. This is the actual offensive line that had to go with all season long. They finally were healthy to play as a cohesive group the whole time. The identity of this football team needs to be run with play action and Aaron Rodgers making the passes that he can make because he's Aaron Rodgers. So if they can assume that identity, I think that that's a realistic thing to perceive, that this can happen with this team. Now they're 4-6 now.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, but this is a possibility. This is a possibility with this team.
Okay. All right. All right. Raiders sucks. I don't really get that too much into it. They suck, man.
I think you get the win this week against Denver. I think you get the win against
Denver. They're not going to score any points, man. It's Davante Adams or a drop at this point. You know what I mean? Like it's just stupid. I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's why I got these fans argue with me. And then they try to bring up other quarterbacks. Like, you guys just have no perspective of anything. You just watch the Raiders. Shut up. Don't tell me about offensive line is good. Don't tell me like this and that. Like, I watched them get dominated by the Jags. Like, I mean, it was embarrassing. The offensive line, I never even seen that type of display of bad offensive line play. And this guy was somebody, they're good. They're average. Come on, man. It's whatever. I don't care anymore. You know, because I mean, Waller and Renfro only played 40 snaps together. Like, so it's Adams, Waller, and Renfro only been on the field for a game.
Yeah. You haven't. Your offense has been completely out of sync. So you had some success running the ball for a few games, but you haven't been like, consistent.
The team's like, hey, let's just bring some extra guys in the box, and those guys can't run block nobody, and then Josh Jacobs ain't breaking 30 tackles. So. He's not spinning off of breaking four tackles, but see, now he's doing it and he's getting 3 yards, but he was doing it before getting 15. So now he's breaking five tackles still, but he's only getting 3 yards. But before he was breaking five tackles, or it would be nobody blocked and he would bounce a gap run, and you can't bounce gap runs. It's like a rule. Like any run, you don't bounce gap runs. And he's been bouncing them all year and getting away with it. And now he's bouncing them. And like, here comes a good, they've been playing better slot tackle quarters. And here comes like Kenny Moore. Oh, you're going to bounce it? Oh, here I come. Bow, tackle. Negative a yard. And then Josh McDaniels is pissed because he's like, Josh Jacobs, don't bounce gap runs. But he's doing it. And he's been doing it all year. But he was getting away with it. And Raiders fans are like, oh my God, it's so cool. The offensive line is so good. And it's really just Josh Jacobs spinning in circles and breaking five tackles. And now it's not working anymore.
I heard a nasty little rumor today, sir.
What was the
nasty
rumor?
I heard a nasty little rumor that you guys are so cash poor that you cannot fire Josh McDaniels because of what the buyout of firing him does.
I think that's his reputation. I think most of the stuff about the Raiders is reputation because that stadium, I think they're worth like $4 billion right now. They're pretty one of the higher net worth teams. So I don't know.
You have the highest average ticket, beer, hot dog, parking. You have the
And that place is still packed. And it's packed. And if it's not packed with Raiders fans now, it's going to be packed with the other team's fans. Drunk. In Vegas for the weekend. So, like, talk about he ain't got no money. I don't hear that. He's got money. He's got the Aces on private jets. They're the only WNBA team on private jets with, like, their own cafeteria and food. And then they won the championship. Like, see, he's got the women living luxury. Nobody said the Aces is broke. You know what I mean? Nobody said the Aces is broke.
It's just wild the things people will say. On Twitter.
See, I think Josh McDaniels should be fired because, one, Josh McDaniels didn't know that Davante Adams has a little bit of a diva attitude. I guess he didn't know that. I guess maybe Derek Carr didn't know that. I know they hang out in the summer. Derek Carr had to know he's a little bit of a diva. He had to know. Just had to know of it. He's going to demand the football. And I don't think Josh McDaniels is ready for that. I don't think Josh McDaniels is ready for a player who's going to come into him on a Sunday after getting 7 targets and be like, hey, I'm not getting the ball.
Well, look at what he's had. Look at what he's had in New England. Who's the biggest diva that he ever had to deal with in New England? Randy Moss. Nobody. At the end of his career. At the end of his career, Randy Moss. That's
Randy Moss wasn't
he
even
was like,
a diva.
He brought right, exactly. He brought a passing game to life because of him just being there. And you're like, oh my God, we wanted to get you the ball.
Randy Moss wasn't a diva. He just likes to say when the team sucked. Because he's always getting the ball. Like it was never like he was never getting the ball. Who doesn't throw to Randy Moss? So he was like a diva, like Terrell Owens, who's mad he didn't get the ball that game. We all threw the Randy Moss, but yeah, I don't think he was ready for Devontae because I think Devontae is messing up his mind, his offensive philosophy a little bit. But come on, man, like you have to know who you are. Like, have you said heard his interviews? He's like, just nobody can guard me. I don't care what the like. You think people who say that? Like, is a joke? You thought it was a joke when he said that? Like, no. He thinks he can beat any coverage. He can think if there's three guys on him. I watched Devontae. He's three guys on him. He'll like, match up the third guy. He'll try to run up the third guy to beat both of them. Like, I watch him. Like, it's crazy. So, you have to know that, and you have to build your offense around him, not your mind, not whatever you wanted to build it around. You have to build it around him. That means you have to call his number late in the game, or Derek Carr is going to just throw a fade to him, and it might not work. But it's really your fault because you didn't call his number. Like, why are you not calling Devontae on his number? Like, he should be the main guy. Whatever you have that read, if it's this side, if it's a flat route out here, he should be the flat guy. If it's an inside slant, he's the slant guy because he could do it all. So, like, it's just – that's what I like about Josh McDaniels. Like, why did you trade for Devontae? We should trade for Nelson Aguilar if we're just going to put him at X. And the funny thing, too, Chris, I got to tell you a story before we get too long. But me and my partner, I do tape online with, we have a running joke that Matt Collins, you know, week 3, Matt Collins went off. He had like 170 yards or something like that. Big yards. And Devontae Adams had no targets. And Devontae Adams was playing more Z to start the season. So he's being moved around a little bit. But ever since that game, he's played X. It was like he went in there. He's like, this isn't happening. Matt Collins is not getting more yards to me. So I don't know what's happening. If he's getting the targets there, I'm playing that position. So what I got to do to learn that? Because whatever I learned before that, that's not happening. If he's getting the targets, I'm going there. And that's what when he plays since week 4. So, but that's what I'm saying. He wasn't prepared for that. Devontae Adams is not an X. He's playing X right now. The reason why he's playing X is because Matt Collins had 170 yards. So you can't tell me no different. I don't want to. I'm sorry. You can't tell me. He's never played X in his life. He hasn't played X with him. He played Z when Jordy was there. Jordy's played X. He's played Z. Like, he's never. It's not something he does. But now he's playing X. It's weird. All right. Let's move on. So Josh Allen, Kirk Cousins prevails. Josh
the game
Allen
of
is
the
struggling.
Year.
Josh Allen
is game
is in
of
the mode.
The year.
It was Chris. Are you saying that it's not the game of the year, Chris? I mean, they came back. It was 27-10 comeback from the Vikings. Kirk Cousins 8-1, 350 yards, but 2 interceptions.
What was that last part? What was the most important part there? Turnovers?
2 interceptions, but did he win? So, you know what I'm saying? Did he do enough for them to win? You know, he just threw it up to
yeah.
Jefferson.
He just threw a jump ball. He just threw a jump ball. 4th and 18. Jump ball.
and the other part,
just knocked it out of the sky, and he basically caught it.
He, like, caught it for him. Like, just knock it out of his hand.
He did. He caught it for him. He really did. That ball the whole way down. He just had like a piece of it, and the defender was trying to like steal it from him the whole time. It's like, bro, knock it down.
You win. See, but the thing is even with that play, Kirk Cousins went all the way down the field and failed, right? So he failed, went all the way down the field and failed, right?
And then Josh gave away the game.
Yeah, he gave away the game.
Quarterback.
I didn't see the
exchange.
Fumble. I changed the channel to the. I'm like, all the game's over. They failed. I changed the channel to the Raiders game because I gotta watch the Raiders. And then I get a text message like, "Oh my god, did you see what happened?" Yeah, and I'm like,
he gave away the game, and then was able to at least get a field goal out of it to send it to overtime.
Yeah,
that's how bad the Vikings are. That's how bad the Vikings are.
See, but you know, he's not playing well. Josh Allen, he's turned the ball over way too much. He's got 3 turnovers this week. He turned the ball over against the Jets, some egregious turnovers against the Jets. And that's what I talked about with Josh Allen, is that
we talked about it last week. This was a conversation last week. If you're following the podcast, this is not anything new. We literally had this conversation last week about Josh and his turnover.
Yeah, he's having some turnover issues, man. Big time. Big time turnover issues. And he's always had them. He led the league in turnovers last year. He didn't lead the league, but he had 18. The year before that, he had like 17, 18, 19. He's a turnover guy. They play good defense over there. So he turns the ball over. They don't always give up a point. They don't always give up scores when he does turn the ball over. And, you know, he's aggressive. They're saying he's Yolo Allen again, but you know, he's always been Yolo Allen. Has never really changed. You know, we just, you know, in the media, we just, when people players are winning, we just love them and we just ignore their warts. And then they start losing. They're like, oh, look at that thing that he's been doing the whole time. So it's you know, it's
turnovers and horrible completion percentage. He was 29 of 43.
It's just like how they're killing Russell Wilson so bad this year. Like, Russell's been the same player for like his whole career. It's like now he's losing. It's like, look, he's short. You know what I'm saying? So it's funny how that works, man. We just turn on everybody or they're losing. We act like QB wins is another thing. So
right, that was one of his best completion percentage games at 67%.
This year, yeah. And
that's peak. That's it. That's top. But, that's the best you're going to get.
His interceptions are so bad, though. They're, like, terrible.
I don't understand the thought process.
They're terrible. Oh, the Jets one? The one that he threw against the Jets? Kirk Cousins had the worst one I've ever seen. So, I'm going to – Josh's make a little bit more sense. I can make sense of Josh's. There's some reads right there and maybe some reads he missed. Kirk Cousins, I don't know. Maybe Kirk Cousins might have saw a swift of blue. Maybe that was purple a little bit. Maybe the red and the blue make purple. I don't know. Maybe he's colorblind. But that was probably the worst interception I've ever seen. I don't know. He literally just turned his through it. And the guy's like, oh, thanks.
Dude, I can't. Vikings have had everything go their way this entire season. Like that's not how the NFL works. Like, not everything goes your way every single week, and it's happening for the Vikings. So I'm anticipating a second half collapse.
One of these teams got to collapse, right? There's one of these good teams.
Two of them are.
Eagles and the Vikings.
Two of them are, because the Eagles just started. The Eagles just started their decline this week by losing to the Commanders the way that they did.
See, because the Eagles, though, that's the problem, is because the Eagles don't get up on you. You can run the ball, and then if you keep the game close with them, you're in the game, because that's what the Commanders did. They just kept running the ball, and the Eagles, they're so terrible against the run. They're awful. So, you know, I don't know what's up with the Vikings. The Vikings don't look good, but they're winning. So they're winning close games, and Kirk Cousins is showing us his clutch. You know, people keep showing us Kirk Cousins.
It's not Kurt. He is not clutch. It is not him.
He's got 23 game winning drives recently. I think since 2018, he's changed. Maybe he's taking the next step. Maybe it's time for us to admit that maybe Kirk Cousins has a little clutchness in him.
No.
Maybe. It might be time, Chris. You don't want to go there yet.
It's never going to happen.
The game-winning drives are starting to add up. They're adding up. That's all I'm saying. A lot of close games. They're adding up. He's maybe he's broken the mold. You know what I mean? Maybe he's gotten past it. And Marcus, maybe we might see playoff Kirk this year.
Marcus, I could have game-winning drives if all I got to do is throw jump balls to Justin Jefferson on fourth down.
Can he make
nothing that he did. Nothing that did earned that comeback. Not a still thing.
What about last week? The week before, 17-17 versus the Commanders, right down the field, get a field goal, right? You know?
You want to say that again? Who did he play? Who did he play?
The Commanders beat the Eagles. They beat the Eagles. Who beat the Vikings? I'm just saying. Tyler Heinicke, man.
I like Taylor. He's gonna keep them competitive. He's gonna keep them competitive. But scrapped. I don't have any faith. I don't have any faith in Kurt. A lot of these game winning drives that he has are there. There's more about the defenses. This is the conversation that we had last year. How I was so anti Joe Burrow in their playoff run. These defenses are giving away the games. Kurt, Joe, they're not winning these games. The defense is giving away the game. That's what's happening. And they're reaping the benefits, and their game-winning drive stats are because these defenses are blowing it. It has nothing to do with what is actually being done by that quarterback. And it's gonna bite the Vikings in the butt. It's coming for them. It's coming for Jalen Hurts too, because there's only so much that Jalen can do as a quarterback when the game's on the line and they actually have to be in a position where Jalen is the one that has to make the right read and Jalen is the one that has to make the right throw, or Kurt's the one that's got to make the right throw. These games are not going to go their way. They're not going to go their way.
And just to say, like, I mean, he's doing a lot of the jump balls, the yellow balls too. So, to AJ Brown, and what happens? You do a yellow ball. AJ Brown didn't catch it fully and got picked. So, yeah, the Vikings. I don't know. I don't know what they are. I mean, I watched it. I mean, their defense is all right. I mean, they got a pretty good defense.
They're frauds, Marcus. The defense is not okay. Their defense is bad.
Yeah, good front seven. They got Hunter. They got Smith. They got Kendricks. They got a good front seven.
They've got an old front seven.
They got a good front seven. Come on, Chris. Come on, man. I know you're a Packers fan. Seven. You can't get the Vikings.
No, you can run. You can run all over them. You can run all over them.
Speaking of the NFC, I've seen
some defensive fronts that the Minnesota Vikings have put together. This is not a good defensive front for the Minnesota Vikings.
All right. Just think there's a little bit of bias there, but it's okay. We're going to
– There is a lot of bias. Okay, I got a lot of bias there. That is a part of it.
Geno versus Brady. I mean, which this could be the NFC Championship game with the way the season's going.
Why would you put that out there? Why would you do that?
Preview of the NFC Championship game.
No.
Where the season goes.
No.
Are we going to get Jimmy versus Tom this year? That's what I want. I want Jimmy versus Tom, NFC Championship game. Right.
Now, that is a game very likely, in my opinion.
That's so bad with the NFC. We got 2-8-1 teams, and we're talking about the 5-5 teams. We're talking about
dude. That's a fact.
That's awful. That's awful.
If you had me talking about and being so hopeful about what the Packers back half of the season can look like, looking at their schedule, look at the Buccaneers schedule. Look at what the Buccaneers can do with a defense that stops the run. Look what the Buccaneers can do if Tom Brady gets on a Tom Brady roll. They'll get in as a 4 seed with a home game to start the year. They'll get in as a 3 seed with a home game to start the playoffs.
Versus Daniel Jones. Like, they'll get Daniel Jones first, right?
And then they'll get the Giants.
Minnesota's going to fraud us to 14-3. So Minnesota, then they go to Minnesota, and everybody's like, oh, Minnesota's losing at home. And here comes Tom, and, you know.
That defense can – that is one of the few defenses in the NFC that's one of the few defenses in the NFC that is built for the playoffs to stop the run and force those quarterbacks to throw the ball and to be in positions that we're talking about that these two quarterbacks, Hurts and Cousins, just don't have historical success in. Tom Brady is going to work his way into being in that Super Bowl the year that – he gets a divorce and shows everybody once again why he is who he is.
Yeah. I'm just not happy about that. I mean, Brady's playing a lot better. He's got his boys back. Goodwin's back. Godwin's back. Evans is healthy. The running game is getting back. I think Rashad White of ASU, another player Herm Edwards couldn't win with. He's definitely back out there, and you know,
we're
rolling. They're rolling out there. I think they got a chance. The offensive line's still weak, but the NFC is just up for grabs.
If there's a quarterback that can handle an offensive line not playing well, it's Tom friggin' Brady.
What if he wins Super Bowl? Is he retired? No, he's mad. He has no home to go to. Is he going to retire if he wins Super Bowl?
Brady?
Yeah. He's gonna
He should.
Man, I'm pissed. I'm mad. This dude's never going to go away.
He should. Yeah, he should. You're right, though. He's not going to. He doesn't need it for the money.
No, now he's just playing just because, you know, Giselle wants to date the jiu-jitsu trainer. So now he's just playing because of that. He's mad. He can't sit at home. He gets depressed. He got to go play football. Damn it. Can't sit at home, man. He's got to go train.
This guy. Can't get rid of him.
He can't think about the drama at home. He's got to go train. He's got to go stay in the tape and grind, you know. Work on his flexibility a little bit. Keep his mind off of things. And here we go. But Geno Smith, I thought Geno Smith looked like Geno Smith 3 quarters. But I think if you had a really good fourth quarter, it kind of showed a lot of anticipation, a lot of great throws. It's just too late.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he still looks pretty good, man. I mean, they're down, like, 21-3. And they were at a point where, like, yeah, you know, Geno, everybody's like, oh, Geno can't do anything without a run game. And here he came. You know, he started moving that football through the air. It made you think maybe they should pass more.
But was it because, like – see, this is where I have a problem every single week with NFL football teams. They get up and they stop playing. I felt like that was they stopped playing, and then Geno started to figure some stuff out because the effort on the defensive side of the ball wasn't what it was. The intensity wasn't what it was. They don't keep that foot on the pedal to keep them from getting back in the game. They let them back in the game.
I would say on the first drive for sure, but the second drive, I think that was more about – Geno just being clutch and giving them a chance to get back into that game, especially after the pick that Tom Brady threw. You know, Tom Brady throws a pick, you know, defense, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, oh, crap.
Well, momentum. There's nothing more terrifying in the NFL than momentum.
Yeah.
Because that whole sideline picks it up, that whole sideline field, and it just translates on the field. I don't know why. I don't know how, but guys who are struggling for 3 quarters, you get a little momentum going. It just clicked. That's probably the most fun thing about football is that it can change just like that. And there's never been more parity in the NFL than there is right now.
Yeah, man. Cause
it has a lot more to do with the fact that these guys are undisciplined. But that's a different story. That's a different conversation to have.
A little bit, but you know, Gino's playing consistent football. That's what I like about Gino. He's playing consistent football. He's not playing. He is. He's not.
I'm agreeing. He's probably one of the most consistent quarterbacks this season for sure.
Which is crazy. It's hell to say. Would you have thought you were saying that week 10, Chris? Geno Smith is one of the most consistent quarterbacks in football in 2022.
I have more faith.
What is happening right now?
I have more faith in Geno and the Seahawks than I do in Kurt and Jalen on the Minnesota Vikings, the Philadelphia Eagles combined. Combined, I have more faith in Geno and what Pete Carroll's doing in Seattle.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. Like, you know, this is interesting with Geno because, like, do they re-sign him? Like, if he keeps playing like this, do they sign him? Like, what do they do?
No. He's not getting big money. He's gonna be there and they're gonna start drafting some other quarterbacks and they're gonna do to him. He's gonna get the Jimmy Garoppolo treatment.
You think so? I don't know. We'll see. If Pete Carroll likes him, man, maybe. If Pete Carroll likes him,
That's true. If Pete thinks that he can sustain with him, you're completely right. You're completely right. He's not that old.
The thing is, I don't want Geno Smith to be a free agent because somebody's going to sign Geno Smith and he's just not going to be the same.
Oh, and then it's all going to fall apart. start. Then it's a boom. Then his career goes back to what it was when it started. No, he needs to stay in Seattle. He needs to stay in this offense, just like Jalen needs to stay in that Eagles offense. Like, that's where he'll have success. That's it.
All right, Chris. All right. So, enough about Geno Smith and his surprise season. Let's get to this 2020 draft class. All right. Only four of them have played snaps. I mean, that's a lot, though. But your boy Jordan Love's just sitting there on the bench, just chilling.
Good. Stay there. Learn something. Learn something.
Is he learning anything right now? I think he's learned enough. It's been year three. I don't know what else he has to learn at this point. But
he's making the problem is he's making baby steps. That's the problem.
Okay. All right. So looking at there's
progress, but it's baby steps.
So what were our rankings, Chris? We had Joe Burrow 1, Tua 2, Herbert 4, 3, and then I Jordan Love 4, and then I had Hurts 5. So, of course, Jordan Love hasn't played, so we can't even judge that. How do you feel about our looking back 3 years later, two years and 10 weeks later? How do you feel about our draft grades with these guys right now?
I think we nailed it.
You think so?
I don't see any change in the rankings.
You don't see any change? Okay, so
just because Tua has two of the best wide receivers in the league, he's supposedly a better quarterback because talent around him is better. You know how I feel about Tua. I do not believe that Tua will have success if one or both of those receivers gets hurt.
I don't agree with that.
I just have no in how he throws the ball down the field. Zero.
So he can't throw the ball on the field. That's fine. We can agree there. It's not great. It's not a sexy thing to watch him throwing the ball on the field. But I think my thing was too. He just does everything else as a quarterback really well. So like he anticipates. He moves linebackers with his eyes right now. He's great feet in the pocket. Voice pressure really well. He doesn't turn the ball over. It's just he can't throw deep. So, I mean, yeah, it's a big limitation. So
I'm gonna rephrase this for you.
Okay.
Put him on the Green Bay Packers today. Today. Mm-hmm. You think that defenses won't play him differently? And what he's showing to be successful at wouldn't change in a different situation? I don't think he anticipates it that well. I think he has the most talented wide receivers in the NFL. That you want to talk about Tyreek Hill, how he was saying, Patrick's really good, but I'm not some slouch. Patrick continued to show what he's capable of and that he is that elite level quarterback. You change you take Tyreek Hill, you take Jalen Waddle out of the equation. I don't think we see the same quarterback that we're seeing today, plain and simple.
I don't know. I don't think I'm giving him enough credit because I think he's putting up some crazy numbers. And I think people, just because, he can't throw deep and a little bit of who he is, I think it's kind of hurting his reputation a little bit. I just think he's playing a lot better than he's getting credit for. And I know he has the awesome players around him, but I don't know if some of these – I'm not going to say every quarterback would do what he was doing with these weapons. And I think that's fair to say. I don't know. Maybe Kirk Cousins. I don't know if Kirk Cousins does this. I don't know. I don't know.
I would agree Kirk Cousins doesn't do this because Kirk Cousins has had two elite wide receivers the entire time that he's been in Minnesota. So I'll agree with you that Tua is better than Kirk. I will agree with that, hands down.
Okay. All right. I'm just saying, let me ask you this. What if this continues into the playoffs? Sorry to interrupt you, Chris. What if this continues into the playoffs and like he goes on like a playoff run? Would that change your mind about Tua a little bit?
Not in one season.
Not in one season. Okay. All right.
No, I need more consistency. I got to see it happen. Goes out there, two, 3 years.
Not if he outduels Tom Brady. Not if he goes out there and outduels Tom Brady for every Dolphins fan that exists. And for, you know.
Not even Tua is being asked to run a RPO style offense, run pass option. See, everything is a pass play.
Can we talk about that?
Got the best offensive line?
He does. He's only under pressures per drop. So drop backs, pressure. He only has 59. He only has 59 pressures all year. So he's getting rid of
Marcus. That has more to. That's the key right there. I cannot say the offensive line personnel.
He does have Armstead.
That's true. Over there, they did bring Armstead in. He's got one of the better left tackles in the league. But when you're getting the ball out as fast as he is, it makes Armstead's life easy. He's gonna do the same thing every single play. Get the defender's arms down. He doesn't have to drop back and deal with five step. They don't do five step drops in that offense. They don't do seven step drops.
Yeah,
Tua is in shotgun. His feet barely move, and he still can't get the ball out of his hands fast enough. I think that we need to acknowledge the personnel, the coaching. He's been placed in an alt. I gotta lump him in with Jalen Hurts. He's in the most optimal style offense possible. They figured out the best way to use Tua and his abilities with the roster that they have. I will not be able to give you a true feeling about Tua until 4 or 5 years down the line. Because when Jalen Waddle needs to get paid, I guarantee you he's not off Dolphins.
Waddle will get paid because they'll get rid of he'll be like 32 or 33. They'll get rid of Hill first because he'll be open.
Okay. So you get rid of Hill, and then now it's the offense that was last season.
But then he'll be older and better. He'll be older and better by the time it happens.
He won't have a better deep ball.
But Chris, because let's be fair, Chris, because out of all these guys, we're going to go over all these guys, Justin Herbert was the best one year one, right? Sure. So Tua was the worst one. Joe Burrow was – and then Jalen Hurts was probably the worst one. I'm going to say Tua was the worst one because Jalen Hurts was better than Tua just from a rushing perspective, whatever, right? So from that perspective, Tua has really gotten better every year because he got better last year. He was better year two. Year one, he's been going up. Everything's been up, right? So he hasn't really He's still 24 years old. This is a big thing in the show. We talk about prime years. He's 3 years away from his prime, Chris. 3 years. So we got a time to even for he even like gets there. And he's ahead of schedule, in my opinion. Way ahead of schedule. So for him to even be playing this well, that kind of tells me, man, if he sticks with Waddle and Mike McDaniel in this offense, because he's got Mike McDaniel too. Because if he keeps going with Mike McDaniel, man.
Well, that's a it's a big, big part of his success. I couldn't agree with you more. Huge, huge part of his success.
You know?
Huge. I agree with you there. I just don't. I need to see what he looks like in his prime years. Today, I'm not giving you any of it.
Okay.
Not giving you any of it.
Okay, all right. But that's my thing. Because a lot of people get on him too. I'm like, I looked it up. He's only 24 years old, man. He's so young. So he's been in the league 3 years. He's still young. He's still learning, man. I mean, there's a lot of crazy coverages in the NFL, man. It takes a while for some of these young guys. Everybody, give me a redshirt sophomore. Well, yeah, he's 20. He's coming to the league into the NFL at 20 years old, playing quarterback, which is like the most cerebral. His brain's not even fully developed, and he has to recover seven man match. You know, and we want these kids to come in and be awesome.
Well, he's not having to read. He's not having to read any of that, Marcus. They've dumbed down defenses with the style of offense that they play so that he can ball out of his hands as quick as possible. And I think it has more to do with the fact that he can't get there. He can't get there to do those type of things that they need him to do to run a pro-style offense the way that an Aaron Rodgers, a Tom Brady. Tua's not going to be on that level. He's not going to be. I have more faith in Lamar Jackson getting there than Tua getting there. I have more faith in Justin Herbert getting there than Tua getting there.
All right, man. Tua's been winning too, man. He's got the best. He's 20-8. Tell you, man. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, it's never always the best quarterback. It's never the best one. It's always the luckiest one, to be honest. And he's got the luckiest because he's got.
Well, Burrow, we had ranked number one in that class, and he is for sure. He's for sure the luckiest one.
He is now, but no, because he didn't. The Bengals, they got Zach Taylor. They didn't get Mike McDaniel like Tua, who's running RPO wheels. They're running post wheels through RPOs. So he's doing an RPO. So it could be a run play, or it could be a post wheel to Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. Which one is it? You know, that's not happening with Joe Burrow.
Nobody has to play an RPO and think that they have to cover 15 to 20 yards down the field. Nobody in the NFL has to do that.
And they just add Jeff Wilson. Hey, man.
Dude.
It's Alabama Dolphins, all over again.
Don't get me wrong. I think the Dolphins are going to be very successful this season. Do I think it's because of Tua? No. It is because of Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, now bringing in Jeff Wilson, now bringing in Bradley Chubb to rush the passer. I think you've got an anchor at left tackle. I think the personnel on that team is the cause of Tua's success. And when they got to manipulate that roster, man, they better draft well. They better continue to draft well because Tua's going to need help when he can't be thrown to some of these guys.
Yeah. I mean, that's I guess that's fair, Chris. But, you know, we'll see because, I feel like next year we're going to be having the – it's Tua elite conversation. We're going to have to talk about that.
So, don't do that, man.
I hope you're ready because, I mean, this is like Joe Burrow's elite, right? Let's get to Joe Burrow, who's actually bounced back. He had a slow start.
He did. He's in the I do not give a – I'm just going to throw it up. He's just throwing the ball.
Joe Burrow is getting rid of the ball 2.4 seconds. So they've changed up their offensive philosophy, and they're throwing the ball a lot shorter, obviously. I mean, his A-dot is 7.4.
The safeties are playing so deep. The defenses are forcing them to do that.
Yeah.
Defenses are forcing them to do that.
He's playing well with it, though. He's 70% completion percentage, 7.6, 18 touchdowns, six interceptions. He's playing well. He's playing well. Good football. I just think, Joe Burrow's just so inconsistent, man. Like, Joe Burrow's like, oh my God, you're amazing. This one game, you're like the greatest quarterback I've ever seen. And then, the next game, you get sacked 8 times. You're taking sacks. You're dropping your eyes. And you're spinning around in circles. And then the next game, you're the best quarterback I've ever seen. You're anticipating. I just need consistency from this dude. If he can be consistent, then he can be, I think he's going to be the best one in this class. By far, it's going to be not even close, in my opinion.
By far,
it's going to be not even
by close. Far.
I just think, that's my opinion. I just think by far, because he's the toughest, he is the best leader, and he puts up stats. He's just not there yet. People want to crown him already. I'm just like, can we just let him get there? Because he's not there yet. But I think if there's if any of these guys has a chance to be elite, like the Tom Brady's and the whatever, and I hate saying this, but whatever, I'm gonna say it. And he doesn't play for any of the Raiders rivals, so I can say this. I think it'd be him, just from his moxie, and his, I want to play for Joe. You know what I mean? I want to go catch some Joe Burrow passes. So his coolness makes more sense to me than Herbert's. Herbert's makes no sense to me at all. Herbert doesn't even throw downfield. So it's just, at least Burrow has some balls. You know what I mean? Burrow, he gets his I don't get the Herbert love at all. Burrow makes complete sense. I see why people love Burrow. Burrow puts his head down, gets smashed. And you think he has a concussion. He gets up and just shakes it off. He's back in the huddle. Right?
Burrow has definitely been playing well in his last 5 games. His lowest completion percentage was 68.6 against the Ravens, and that was 5 weeks ago. Now, who they're playing against lately definitely factors into some of that.
The Panthers. I mean,
Carolina, at Cleveland, which they lost, by the way. The Falcons before that. I mean, the Saints, when they were really struggling, I mean, that defense isn't that bad in New Orleans, and that was on the road. But
that was a good game. I watched the game on film. He played well.
He threw for 300 yards. He threw 75.7%. He threw 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. He played really well.
Yeah. I mean, he's only thrown 2 interceptions.
That's not a bad defense.
He's only thrown 2 interceptions since week one. But he's still getting sacked.
They were in the last 5 games. That was the last 5 games with those 2 interceptions.
See, my thing is, though, with him is that he's getting the ball, getting rid of the ball at 2.46 seconds. He's still getting sacked on 30% of his pressures. So that is on him. That's still on him. You can't get sacked.
He got sacked 5 times against the Browns.
You can't get sacked at 30% of your pressures, dog. I mean, because Jalen Hurts has 21 sacks, okay? But he's only getting sacked on 19% of his pressures, which just tells me that Jalen Hurts is creating his own sacks. That's probably what that tells me. But more than anything, because that's not that – yeah, I guess it's a little different, you know? No, that's not that much. Like, I feel like that's an 11% difference. So that tells me that Jalen Hurts is running into his own sacks. but Joe Burrow isn't, I guess, a little bit more. But, like, Joe Burrow's under pressure. He's getting sacked because he tries to break tackles and stuff like that. It's like, Joe, get rid of the ball.
Yeah.
Get your eyes up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the whole problem with him. Because he has such a great pocket presence. Like, he'll dodge the first guy. Like, there'll be pressure on him. He'll dodge the first guy. But then he doesn't keep his eyes up. And he brings his eyes down. And then he tries to become, like, Superman. He thinks he's Russell Wilson. Like, no, man. I don't care how much gold teeth you have, bro. Like, did you put on? Like, throw the ball. Okay? Throw the ball, Joe. You're not that athletic. You're not Lamar Jackson. You can't. Like, it's hilarious to watch, Chris. Like, he literally dodges it. And I'm like, oh my God, that's great pocket presence. Wow, I didn't even know how you felt that. But instead of just resetting his feet and just hitting Jamar Chase on the dig, his eyes are down. He's just shifting around like an idiot. It's like
looking in front of him. Yeah.
Trying to spin. And I know one day he's going to stop doing that. And that's what he's going to become, Greg. And that's what he's become a solid. He literally might be.
You think a light bulb is going to go off for him?
I think a light bulb is going to go off for him. I don't know if he's going to get hurt again. I don't want to say that out loud. That's terrible to say. You know, it's going to be something like that. Because once he learns that he can reset his feet in a pocket and keep his eyes downfield and still throw, it's over for everybody. I don't know. He's going to dominate. Once he does that. I don't know how long it's going to take. But once he does that, and that's what I watch him on tape, I'm like, reset your feet, Joe, and throw. Because it's literally, if he did it, he would not be able to be stopped. He would not be able to, because his pocket feel is so good. He avoids it so well. It's just, he avoids it, and then he thinks he's Lamar Jackson. That's his problem.
And he's got to keep going.
Throw the ball, Joe.
All right, we got two more guys to us, and we're running out of time.
I'm sorry, Justin Herbert.
No, it's my fault. I've been ranting a bit about some of these quarterbacks. Tell me your thoughts on Jalen Hurts, because I ranted about him earlier. He's just like Tua. He's in an offense that completely supports him with personnel around him that is making him better. But I can't get past every throw being short 10 yards. I can't get past it. He can barely get the ball down the field, and I think that's by design because he doesn't have the ability to go through his reads.
I think with him, you know, I don't know if he's reading the field the best still. You know, that's one of his things. I mean, it goes back to him being a little short. I mean, that's why they do a lot of the RPOs with Tua, because Tua's short too. So you give him some lanes, some RPOs. They do a lot of RPOs with Jalen Hurts. I mean, they get really creative with RPOs with Jalen Hurts too. So a lot of it is like the college offense type of thing where you build the offense around him. You know, it's just me. I just think Tua is more of a dog than Hurts. When it like, if I had to, if there's a point where like you need some a throw, I just think think Tua would be able to make that throw more than Hurts would. And
Saban replaced Hurts with Tua for a reason.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. So I feel like that's there, but I think Hurts is on the better team, right? And I think Hurts is I don't want to judge Tua's intangibles because I don't know what they are, but you know, people used to hate him on the old Dolphins teams with Brian Flores. I don't know how much that was Brian Flores, right? But mm-hmm. you know, I think Tua, Jalen just has a little bit more intangibles. So I think you know, guys, you know, love playing for Jalen, and you know, they back him a little bit more. But you know, it's with him, it is a lot of the offense, but I think he's still a dynamic player and he can get it done with a good team around him, like you can see. But you know, I don't know if he'd beat Tom Brady, you know what I mean? That's gonna be interesting. Because I mean, Matthew Stafford was up 27-3. Because you know, just think about it. if the Bucks didn't play cover zero like idiots, is Tom Brady in the Super Bowl again last year? It's
mm-hmm.
I don't want to think about these things, Chris. So, but let's get to the guy who's struggling the most out of all these guys, and we can talk about injuries.
The preseason hype that he got,
the top three one, the elite of the elite, the best quarterback in football. I saw some smart analysts say, the best quarterback in football, Justin Herbert. We know Justin Herbert has the same situation Derek Carr has exactly right now, and he's struggling.
hey, you get both of his receivers practice this week, so we'll see
he's going right back to elite, right? Then he's going right, so he's gonna
play. Oh, yeah, right back to elite.
He's playing elite football, he's not gonna. So, what is that? He says YPA is 6.3 right now. His passer rating is 89. All the other 2020 guys are over 100. He's at 89. He doesn't have Rashawn Slater's fine. It's fair. His offensive line is not the same. It's fair. I'm being fair. He has a rib injury he's playing through. We're being fair, right? He's
doesn't have his number one and number two receiver.
Doesn't have his number one, number two, right? But to me, he's elite, though, right? See, this is a Chargers guy. I could do this. You know, Bengals and be more fair. Herbert, I'm not gonna be fair here. He's elite, right?
Chris, can't he's the do best it, quarterback Marcus.
Like, he's the best quarterback of football. Like, I don't know. He's a robot. He's a machine. It's like he made one good throw last week. Did you see that? He made one good throw like last week, and it went viral. Oh my god. But we just missed like where he went like 7 for 15 for 37 yards the second half. That didn't go viral. No. Interesting. Interesting. And you know, a lot of his problem too is, I mean, his, you know what his pressure to sack ratio is, Chris? He's under pressure the most of all these guys. You wanna know what it is? It's 8.6. That means, so how do you think he's avoiding pressure?
Check down, check down, check down, check down, check down, check down, check down.
PPR Austin Eckler. So it's just interesting. I just, you know, it's to me the thing with Herbert. You know, he's been the same guy since his rookie year.
Same. No progress. Nothing's changed. Everything's the same. But I think you nailed it. We have this conversation about him. He lives inside that offense. He's doing what they tell him to do. He doesn't push back. He doesn't audible.
And he's like, he's too docile as a personality to like yell at somebody. You know what I mean? I was still mad at him last year at the tape. He yelled at Jared Cook. I'm like, I would have yelled at Jared Cook. I don't care how long I've been in the league. He's getting yelled at. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. With Herbert, it's just weird. That's what I said. His year one, he hasn't got better. The rest of these guys, Chris, what have they all done? We can say what we want about Tua.
Yeah.
We can say what we want about Jalen Hurts.
They've all made progress. Absolutely.
They've all gone up. Herbert has such a good rookie year. And I said that. I said that going into 2021, I said this. is he going to get better? It's like Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield was great his rookie year, right? But he was still – and that's the problem when you draft seniors sometimes. It's like they're already a finished product a little bit. And
yeah,
is he going to get past this? Like, we're not seeing him take the steps that Tua is taking. We're not seeing him take the steps that Jalen Hurts is taking. Because Jalen Hurts is not the same quarterback that he was, I watched as a rookie, right? You know what I'm saying? Right? So – these guys, are like, you know, two of them have at least entered the world of good. They were, like, below average. They've entered the world of good, right? You know, Herbert has been
good. I can agree with you there.
Herbert has been good. He's been,
definitely
like –
definitely agree with you there.
Herbert's been good for 3 years. Been good.
Yep. I don't think that changes for him until they bring somebody new in. I think you completely unlocked the – what we missed with evaluating him out of the draft. He is a system guy. Whatever system you put him in is going to be where his level of success goes to. Because he'll be able to do whatever you need him to do, whatever system you take him to. He's one of those guys that I'm actually not afraid of a new system every year. Because he seems able to pick up and develop within that system very quickly. And then he shows you right away exactly what he's going to be for you in that mold. So if they can get Sean Payton to come in there and to do his magic, I would be very surprised if we don't see a jump in his progression as a quarterback. But if you're going to leave him where he is right now, steady Eddie, baby, he ain't moving from what he's doing.
See, that's my thing. It's like, if you get him in the right offense, I think he could take a next step. That's the thing. But, like, you get him this mundane West Coast office type thing. Like, if you get him to, like, not even a mundane West Coast office, but more like an Andy Reid kind of, you know, Mike McDaniel type of West Coast offense. You know what I mean? Like, there's downfield throws. There's way to set things up for downfield throws and stuff like that, RPOs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get him comfortable, right? Because, you know, I still think he has some of the problems where he's not that accurate in the intermediate. He still has issues with, you know, some of those issues mechanically he still has. And you know, we just watched the highlight throws of the all 22 amazing fire throw he threw between two windows. But that's what he did in college too. You could those same throws were on his college film. So I don't know why people ignored that when they were watching his college film, because I didn't. I saw those throws in college. I was like, oh my god, this guy's cannon. And you know, but he hasn't got better. That's the thing. He's 60. This is like his exact stat line last year. He's 6.3 YPA. He's going to have a bunch of touchdowns. He has 2,400 yards. He has 380 attempts already. He already has 400 attempts in a season, right? And
he's got more attempts than Patrick Mahomes, dude. He's got more attempts than Patrick Mahomes.
He threw the ball 140 more times than Tua. I mean, I know Tua missed some games, but damn. that's about six games. Like, what? Like, the average quarterback with 35 throws. So that's like, what? Like, five games more than Tua?
You ain't wrong.
That's crazy, man. And then, you know, with his A dot, and he's still 65% completion percentage with a low A dot. You know, like, you know, Joe Burrow's A dot 7.4, but his completion percentage is 70%, and Justin Herbert is at 65. Mm. No.
Good, so, not great. Good, not great.
He's a good quarterback. But that's just my opinion on these guys. I don't know how you feel, but that's why I think Joe Burrow is the guy.
I think we're on the same page when it comes to Herbert. We're on the same page when it comes to Burrow. We differ at Tua. I think you almost want to agree with me on Jalen Hurts too.
I agree with you on Jalen Hurts. I do. I think Jalen Hurts is a product of that offense, but I think that's good on Nick Sirianni for knowing that he has to be a leader, right? So this guy's tangible. So you know he's going to come in. He's going to grind. He's not going to BS. He's going to learn that offense. He's going to run it to the best ability he can, right? And that's on Sirianni for doing that too, you know what I mean? But none of these guys are – just what I'm saying, but just none of these guys are just Joe Burrow, which you know, I hate Joe Burrow and, like, some of what he does and how the media portrays him. But he's a dog, man. I can't I can't even say anything about it. it's just because Washington this year is a little different, you know. He's taking a step too, you know. So that's kind of like my thing. I still see that the arrow going up, and Herbert is just like a flat line.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
We didn't even get to next game of games, Chris. But I think this is a good discussion. I feel like that was a good episode.
That was a very good discussion. I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah,
Marcus, give me one game. What are you looking? What game do you think? Who are you gonna bet on? Give me one game that you're betting on.
One game.
I'll give you mine. I'll give you mine before you look at before you figure out what you're doing.
Go ahead.
Colts at home against the Eagles. Colts are getting 7 points currently. I think Saturday covers. Every single week, the Colts cover every single week. They might not win the game, but they're going to cover. I think that they actually win the game. First game at home with the new coach. They're feeling good about themselves. They got a running game. That's the Eagles' weakness. Colts, take the points. Take a look at what that money line looks like. That might be worth the bet as well. That's my view with this week.
See, I want to take the Cardinals, but I want to find out if Colt McCoy is playing first.
Yeah, 3-1. Cliff's got a quarterback when Colts play.
I gotta watch. Is that episode? That's premiere today. I gotta watch that episode. Is that premiere tonight? I gotta watch that, man.
Yeah, that's tonight. That is tonight. Marcus and I recording on a Wednesday. We should have watched that first, huh?
Yeah, we should have. We should have, man. Colt McCoy. I want to know if he's playing first before I take that one. But I really like that what you did, because I would have took that, Chris. I'm taking that too, because they can't stop the run. And for some reason, Jeff Saturday came in, and I don't know what he said to the offensive line.
But he fixed them, man.
Matt Ryan.
He fixed them.
Matt Ryan has never had that much time in about 3 years. Matt Ryan was super excited. He probably bought them TVs. With all the money he has, he probably just bought some TV or something. He was going through reads. He got to the third read last week. I don't think he's ever hit. When's the last time he done that? Matt Ryan's like, man, am I getting to the third read today? He's like, wait a second. What is this 2016? All right, here we go. You know, I like the Jets or the Patriots, because I feel like there's the buzz.
That, you know, ooh.
The Patriots can't beat the Jets. Can't beat the Patriots. They own Zach Wilson. You know, they're on the road. You know, I like that one. I think when they beat the Bills, it gave them a lot of confidence.
You know, that was at home, though. Oh, no, that was in Buffalo, wasn't it?
No, that was at home.
That was at home? Okay.
Yeah, Buffalo's on the road.
I think the Jets and the Lions are very similar, where if they're at home, you got to consider almost taking them money line.
But on the road, it's a different animal. I can't take the Lions ever. I'm never taking the Lions ever, because the Lions are the worst defense in the world. I mean, I took them last week and they won for me. That's fine. And I got lucky because, you know, the Justin Fields ran all over them and I was worried. And if he didn't throw that interception late in the game, I would have lost, because the Lions.
Yeah, but he's Justin Fields, and they had him throw the ball instead of run the ball, and it cost them the game. So, I don't know, man. I just think, well, they're on the road, so I'm not going to touch that with the Giants coming off a bye week. But
what do you think, Chiefs Chargers? What do you think of that one? Let's talk about that one before we get out of here. Talk about Justin Herbert. He's getting his
Sunday night football.
He's getting his dogs back.
I'm sorry. If the Chiefs fans didn't travel as well as they do, I mean, it's basically a home game, the Chiefs. There's no way that I'm picking against the Chiefs in this scenario.
Man, the Chargers get to 5-5, man. Jokes, I tell you, because Justin Herbert's numbers are worse than Derek Carr's. I'm being patient, you know. I'm being patient, and but I don't care what the Raiders' record is. If Derek Carr has a higher passer rating than Justin Herbert at the end of the year, there will be some slander. I'm just gonna let everybody know that. So,
wow,
I don't care if the Raiders are 2-14. I don't care. like, oh, look at that. All right, here you go. That's it. This is pretty much the games. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I thought it was good. We went over the 2020 quarterbacks. So, give our thoughts, kind of an update. We don't look as bad. We're having two over Herbert now. You know, that was a thing last year. we don't look his back, Chris.
Right.
Like, I really
no. We appreciate no. I think
we appreciate you taking the next step.
Thank you for making us redeem ourselves from our Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold 1-2. At least we had Lamar in the top three. Like, he's definitely the best in that class.
We love to talk Lamar.
We love to talk about Lamar, but come on, Baker and Sam made us lose a little credibility there.
But shout out to for helping us out, making that number two, look okay. Like, hey, those guys are pretty smart. They had, Tua in front of Herbert the whole time. Never changed on it.
Nope. No, we did not. We did not move off of that one. That was the line in the sand right there.
All right. So, guys, make sure you guys follow us on Twitter at ALPA_QB1. I'm starting my quarterback breakdowns of college. So, I'm going to start doing those, posting those pretty soon here. And then go ahead and follow Chris. Oh, sorry. No, my bad. On Instagram, too. ALPA_QB1 on Instagram. Then A Little Pocket Awareness on Facebook. Follow me and Chris on Twitter at TheMarkJohnNFL, at King Manelis for Chris. And, subscribe, guys. Check us out every single week. All right, here. Peace.